with a surprise for you today. What is the surprise? Well, you are listening to Law and Gospel. Normally, it is an open mic Friday on this May the 6th in the year of our Lord 2016. But we are not taking calls today. I know this is unusual, but I want to talk about something that's going to take the whole time. So today, no calls will be taken. We did receive some emails with questions, and a number of them really dealt with the items we were talking about with Wes Reimnitz yesterday on the Ascension. So we're going to hold off those questions till next Thursday, and God willing, we'll deal with it then. What do I want to talk about today? I want to talk about the Lutheran understanding of church and state. And why do I want to talk about that? Because there are a number of movements now where people are saying, never Clinton, never Trump. Now, do you have the right to get on board with either of those? Absolutely, as a layperson. What I've been concerned about is how many pastors, professors at seminaries and other theological schools are taking up this subject. You will never hear on Law and Gospel somebody come in who's pushing for Clinton or for Trump. And that's because I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, I lose certain privileges. And one of the privileges is to indicate who I am for in regard to politics. And I'll tell you why. It's a very simple reason. When any pastor gives the impression that he is for one or another candidate, those who disagree with him are less likely to listen to him on what he's really supposed to be talking about, and that is theological matters. There were a number of things that happened yesterday that got me thinking in this direction. And one of them is you had, for example, Trump spoke strongly against Senator Cruz. And then when Cruz got out of the run, Trump compliments him. Why can this be understood properly? Well, I was listening to a station yesterday, and they had a caller come in. And he said, I can help people to understand why Trump does what he does. And he says, politics is a contact sport. Now, I'm not saying you should vote for Trump or you should vote for Clinton, but I found that fascinating. What does it mean that politics is a contact sport? You see, Trump is not the typical politician. He's a businessman. And I've been involved in business, and sometimes you have competition. And what do you always say? That when you're really competing with somebody else, you always say, this is not personal. In other words, what Trump has gone through is he's really won a lot of business decisions, and the people that he defeats, for example, well, they're not mad at him. What they do is they go out and have a drink afterwards. We did have politicians like that. Ronald Reagan was definitely opposed to much of what Tip O'Neill had to say. He was Speaker of the House. And yet they would often meet and be able to come to compromises that both kind of agreed with, and then they would go out and have a meal together, etc. Well, what seems to me that is happening today is among a number of pastors and theologians, they're not recognizing that we're not electing a pastor to be president of the United States. We're electing a president. Now, what do I mean by politics is a contact sport? What happens in politics is you are attacked. And what needs to happen next is that you have to counter the attack. I believe that a lot of people move towards Trump or Bernie Sanders. Why? Because they are saying that Politics is broken today. People get elected with promises and then they don't keep them. Now, whether you agree with that or not, the vast majority of individuals, either for Bernie or for Trump, are sick and tired, they say, of how politicians have not kept their word. So, this is why I think they have a lot of support. Now, am I for Bernie? Am I for Trump? No, that's not my position to take because I'm a pastor and I don't want to get what my job is, namely preaching the word of God, confused. So I won't even have anybody on who's criticizing Bernie or criticizing Trump. You need to do, as a layperson, you need to look at the issues. Now, what do I mean that politics is a contact sport? Have you ever seen football players before the game and they get interviewed? They say, well, we're really going to put down this other team. We're going to defeat them. We're going to knock off their heads. And when you watch the football game, boy, is there violence. But at the end of the football game, have you noticed what happens? A number of the football players congratulate the winner, even if they've lost. They shake hands with them. Sometimes they hug them. Sometimes they get in a circle and they have a prayer. The one area that I've been really surprised with, I've enjoyed watching MMA. That's mixed martial arts. That is where people fight each other, and you can always tell them because they have bare feet. But I have been quite amazed after the fight, because the referee says, okay, you won the fight, and he stops the fight. The winner often helps the loser stand up. They hug each other. And I couldn't understand that. Pastor Gaunt, who kind of enjoys watching that, he's pastor right now at Trinity Orchard Farm, he says that a number of those MMA fighters are Christians and they attend the same church in California. Now, that was really interesting to me because that's the kind of a contact sport that really is important. A good friend of mine, Harold Olson, he was a lawyer who was just really tremendous in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He stated that there are too many pastors who take criticism seriously and personally. He said, no, they need to understand what a lawyer does. A lawyer comes in and he really fights hard against the other attorney. And there were some techniques that he would use. For example, if he was trying to get his subject that he was being lawyering for, his client, that's the word I'm looking for, he would go into the prosecuting attorney and say, well, what if we would just let him go on a technicality? And he would say something that was, you know, the prosecuting attorney wouldn't go with. And then he would be in a better chance to get something that he really thought was realistic. And a lot of things did not go to court because they made decisions ahead of time. His point was, with his experience, many pastors, when they're criticized for just about anything, they're thin-skinned and they take it too personally. I've been really surprised that not only television talk show hosts that I had respected, but even Christian pastors, professors, and lay people seem to have no understanding of the difference between the secular and the spiritual world. I can understand, for example, Glenn Beck or a Mitt Romney attacking Trump the way they do. They're often not talking about issues. They're talking about his personality. They're Mormons, so they don't have a proper Christian understanding of the two kingdoms. But other people who are not Mormons, like George Will, Charles Krauthammer, Dana Lash, I've really lost respect for them because of their attacks against Trump that I feel do not necessarily understand the difference between the two kingdoms. And that's also happening with Bernie. He's now being attacked in ways that aren't dealing with the issues. So what are we going to say about this? Well, the second or third thing that happened, I got the Reporter. The Reporter is the official publication of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I began reading, because they have a whole section in there, just came to me yesterday, a Lutheran view of church and state. And by the way, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, President Harrison, wrote a letter to pastors about our understanding of what we are to do as pastors. Here's just a couple of things he says. As Christian pastors, what can we preach during this volatile year? Should we openly support a particular party or candidate in our preaching? He says, of course not. Now, that's really important, because I'm hearing theologians all over the place putting their foot into the political realm and telling you, nah, you shouldn't vote for Clinton, you shouldn't vote for Trump, and using their position as pastors and theologians coming out against that. Now, this is what we are to do. And he also says, should we say if you vote for this or that person, you can't be a Christian? Certainly not. He says, our people have individual experiences in life that guide the exercise of their vote as citizens. By the way, he has the full letter that you can get if you go to lcms.org 2016, and then it's President Harrison provides a Lutheran view of church and state. I think it is excellent. It's excellent. In fact, there was one other thing that occurred and was printed in the Reporter. I'm going to read this, and then I want you to try and guess who wrote it. You must know that since the beginning of the world, a wise prince is a mighty rare bird, and an upright prince even rarer. They are generally the biggest fools or the worst scoundrels on earth. Therefore, one must constantly expect the worst from them and look for little good, especially in divine matters which concern the salvation of souls. They are God's executioners and hangmen. His divine wrath uses them to punish the wicked and to maintain outward peace. Our God is a great Lord and ruler. This is why he must also have such noble, high-born, and rich hangmen and constables. He desires that everyone shall copiously accord them riches, honor, and fear in abundance. It pleases his divine will that we call his hangmen gracious lords, fall at their feet, and be subject to them in all humility, so long as they do not ply their trade too far and try to become shepherds instead of hangmen. If a prince should happen to be wise, upright, or a Christian, that is one of the great miracles, the most precious token of divine grace upon that land. Ordinarily, the course of events is in accordance with the passage from Isaiah chapter 3. I will make boys their princes, and gaping fools shall rule over them. And Hosea 13, I will give you a king in my anger and take him away in my wrath. The world is too wicked and does not deserve to have many wise and upright princes. Now, who do you think wrote that? It appears in the Reporter under Reformation relevance, and it is written by Martin Luther in a piece that he wrote entitled The Christian in Society. See, Luther had the right understanding of church and state. He had the proper understanding that we cannot judge politicians as to how good they are as Christians. I personally would have no problem voting for an atheist. Why? Well, Romans 13, and I'm sure this is where Luther picks up this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Remember, Paul wrote this in Romans 13 at the time that the Romans were in control of Palestine. that Caesar was the emperor. Verse 2, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for you, for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, why do we as pastors sometimes get involved in the political area or what people think are the political area? Because sometimes the government wants to authorize immorality. It is not wrong at all for a pastor in a sermon to speak out against abortion, homosexuality, or gay marriage, or gossip, or going over the speed limit, or being unjustly angry with someone. There's no distinction in God's mind in regard to those sins. And apart from repentance, then a person will receive just retribution, if not from the government, from God himself. But it's somewhat different for a pastor in the pulpit to speak about, in a negative way, the politicians who are running for office. Now, people will think you're speaking in a negative way when you say, here's what they believe. I don't have a problem with the church, let's say, between Clinton and Trump, if that's what it's going to be, that they put out issues. This is what these people believe. This is what they say they're going to do. I don't have a problem with that. For instance, in my opinion, the most important thing the president of the United States can do is appoint Supreme Court justices. So you really need to look carefully to see what is their position on the appointment of Supreme Court justices. What kind of Supreme Court justices are they going to appoint? And I don't have any problem then with a lay person making a decision, well, therefore I'm going for this person because of what they have said about the kind of Supreme Court justices they're going to have. You see, you can just about reverse anything a president of the United States does, except his appointment of Supreme Court justices, for they are lifelong. So I don't have any problem with indicating the positions. Where my problem comes is how many pastors, theologians, and professors are getting involved talking about that this would be an appropriate individual. For example, I recently heard a Southern Baptist president of their school speak out against one of the individuals, saying that that would just be inappropriate for people to vote for him. You see, once a theologian says something like that, he's really telling you you are now sinning when you vote for that person. My congregation that I had for 28 years, there were probably more Democrats in there than Republicans. But I didn't have a problem with that because on the issues that matter to God, namely pro-life, against homosexuality, against gay marriage, against drugs, they were all in sync with that, whether Democrat or Republican. But if they voted for somebody I wouldn't have voted for, big deal. That's their privilege. The most important thing that worries me is how people are now attacking either Clinton or Trump with ways that really don't understand politics. You may remember the National Review came out some months ago, and every individual who wrote in it wrote against Trump. This came out yesterday. Now, National Review used to be under William F. Buckley, who really had a balanced approach, in my opinion, to politics. But David French wrote this after Trump was it looks like, the nominee for the Republicans. The party of Lincoln is in ruins. A minority of its primary voters have torched its founder's legacy by voting for a man who combines old-school Democratic ideology, a bizarre form of hyper-violent isolationism, fringe conspiracy theories, and serial lies with an enthusiastic flock of online racists to create perhaps the most toxic electoral coalition since George Wallace. Them, to add insult to injury, multiple GOP leaders bulldozed the ashes by issuing nauseating calls for unity. Foremost among them, Runts Priebus. He's kind of head of the Republican Party. Rince, you should resign rather than spending one more ounce of personal energy supporting a reprehensible man. Now, I just ask you, if I as a pastor read this from the pulpit, I could understand not only would people walk out of the church who may be in support of Trump, but they're not going to listen to me when it comes to the important items. I mean, President Harrison made it real clear that when we're dealing with this kind of thing, pastors should not say who you should vote for or even who you shouldn't vote for, and say something like, if you vote for that person, you can't be a Christian. In fact, the church has always taught that the pastor is to deal with the spiritual matters in the congregation. It's not that we shouldn't encourage people to be good Christian citizens and that we should therefore support morality and oppose laws that are immoral. We don't have a problem with that. But we need to be very careful as pastors and theologians that we don't give the impression that this is the person you need to vote for. The laity are quite wise in this area. Now, I may disagree with who they're going to vote for, but I can't do it on the basis of biblical evidence. And this is really sad that so many people are coming out against either Clinton or Trump, not on the basis of issues, but on the basis that they don't like them, or their personality is bad, or whatever. You see, the main point I'm trying to make today is that proper politics is a contact sport, which means you fight as hard as you can. If somebody calls you a name, well, make up a name for them. But then, when it's all done, we need to be like Reagan and Tip O'Neill, where we hope they'll go out to dinner together after they've had a talk and come to a joint resolution on these issues. This is proper politics. And that's why I'm really quite concerned how many pastors and professors throughout the country are voicing their opinion in the political realm. Because what it does, I don't know if I need to listen to them in the religious realm. Because if I disagree with them personally in that political, how do I know that what they're saying is correct in the spiritual? I felt this was really important to say, and I love Luther's statement about the idea that you could ever get a president of the United States, I'm using the word president, who is upright, wise, a Christian. That would be a great miracle. We're not electing a pastor. We're electing a president of the United States. Stay with the issues, and pastors, keep your mouth shut when it comes to who people should vote for and who they should not. Why? It's a distinction between church and state. I don't have the right, as a pastor, to tell my people who they should vote for. I can give them information about the various positions, but that's where I stop. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel. And normally, this is an open mic Friday. We'll have the opportunity next Friday if you want to talk about this. I might also bring it up on Insight Wednesday. But at this point, it's just something I felt with the events that occurred yesterday. They all just kind of fit together. And I would encourage you once more to go and try and get that statement, that letter by President Harrison. All you need to do is go to lcms.org and you should be able to find it under the, it's lcms.org. 2016, President Harrison provides a Lutheran view of church and state. It's just excellent. And it's a letter to pastors, but you should read it to help us understand church and state. I'm Tom Baker. Next issue, Pentecost. God bless.
This time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com.